in the second parak of Pirkei Avos, and we are up to this line, this phrase that we have on the top of our paper, where the Mishnah tells us, "Histakel b'shlosh advarim, ve'ein ataba lidei avera." If you keep focus on the following three aspects of life, it will save you from doing the wrong thing, from making a poor choice and a bad decision. Number one, da mala mala mincha, know what is above you, which means we have a God. And He has an ayin roev, a ozen shoma'as. God has a watchful eye and a listening ear, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. That is what we're going to focus on today. We're going to do something very unusual this morning. We're just going to learn through an amazingly impactful piece of the Chafetz Chaim. I don't want to add anything else. I don't want to go through anything else. I just think this is so fundamental, this piece from the Chafetz Chaim. And it's so worthwhile, it just gives a different perspective. So by way of introduction, we live in a world of rapidly advancing technology. And it's a very complicated reality, as all of us know. In so many ways, it has enriched and enhanced our lives. It has advanced our strength and our capabilities, not only as individuals, but also as a country, as a nation. And it's made many aspects of our lives far more efficient in many, many different ways. At the same time, as we know as well, technology is a great hazard, and technology is very dangerous, and it's, for many people, a very destructive tool. Technology can be all-consuming, and people can lose focus of what's really important in life. Technology can be addictive and extremely unhealthy, and for many, it presents, aside from the spiritual dangers of technology that we're all familiar with, it presents physical danger to our health and our bodies, our eyesight, our fingers, all the different parts of our body that we use and we interact with technology can be problematic. It's just what I find to be a very confusing aspect of the world that we live in. The question becomes, does the Torah HaKadosha, does our sacred Torah have an attitude, have a perspective on any of this? And you'll say to yourself, how is it possible? How can the Torah have a perspective if this is all new invention? And it's something that has developed and morphed over the last few thousand years. So how is it possible that the Torah could even potentially have anything to say? What I'd like to do this morning is simply learn through a piece of the Chafetz Chaim. Just to give a context, the Chafetz Chaim lived in the 1800s and passed away in 1933. So just keep that in mind when we're learning this piece today, that he's talking about almost 100 years ago. And think about how much more so everything he's saying in our generation today. And the Chafetz Chaim here shares an incredibly, it's insightful, it's a discerning perspective. Obviously, as we said, so much has advanced since his passing, since this was written, but his view and his outlook is one which develops a certain way of thinking about all of this, the way of really processing what technology is for all of us, and I've always found it very introspective and deeply profound. So let's begin with this comment of the Chafetz Chaim. And what I chose to give, this is written in a few different places, but what I chose to put on here is a passage from the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, where they made a beautiful summary of what the Chafetz Chaim says, gave a little bit of background to what he said, and then most of it is really his own words in the Sefer Shem Olam. So let's begin with the following. The conversation begins with two basic premises that the Chafetz Chaim discusses. Number one, the Chafetz Chaim starts off by writing the following. Well, you see number one here. Shluchei HaHashgacha. He said that there is a concept, as all of us know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, is the master and creator of the world. He is the most important force in all of our lives. But yet, we don't interact with Him directly all the time. Obviously, He is managing every aspect of our lives, but there is a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some kind of emissary, some kind of messenger, a delegate. We talk about malachim, we talk about angels. This week's Parsha, right? We know that there's such a major discussion last week, this week, and the following weeks with malachim, angels that are interacting with people. And this is something that's part of our tradition, that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emissaries, that He has messengers that relate His messages and His communication with humanity. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Osa malachav ruchos, Misharsav Eish Lohet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes many, many different types of messengers. So sometimes His messengers are wind, and sometimes it's a tornado, and sometimes it's an angel, and sometimes it's a person. We have all kinds of different messengers, but they're all Shluchim LaMakom. They are all messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm always moved when you speak to a doctor who has the right perspective, and a doctor is willing to admit to the fact that I'm just a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all I am. And of course, I went to school, and of course I went to training, and of course I did my residency, and I did everything that I was supposed to do, but most importantly, a doctor who recognizes that I'm just a shliach of the Ribono Shel Olam. And if he wants this to work, it's going to work, and if he doesn't, it won't. So that's also just one aspect of the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have so many of them in our lives. Let's see what the Chafetz Chaim says. Har b'shluchim l'makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yesh lo shluchav hamiyuchadim likra ula'or es ha'am. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has messengers who are sent to heal us and to help navigate our lives and do different things and let us know, like by Avraham Avinu, that a good thing is going to happen or a bad thing is going to happen. Those are all messengers. So too, writes the Chafetz Chaim, there are some messengers who are specifically designated to rouse and to kindle our spirit, to be ma'oraras. That's also one of the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lifanim, it used to be, he says, hayim mevatzeazos be'emtzos nevim. This manifests itself in a Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a messenger who had direct communication with him, and he relayed the message of God to all of us. That's the way it used to work. And he would convey and transmit whatever it is that we needed to know from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Heim hayu malachei Hashem, malachei rachamim. I skipped a line. These individuals were sublime, they were exalted, they were transcendent human beings. Ve'ilu ata, and the Chafetz Chaim said, but today, ein lanu nevi'im. We no longer have prophets. Avadnu es chachamenu. Our generation is devoid. We are bereft. We are lacking. And today is a very good time to point out the fact that yesterday was the yahrzeit of Reb David Feinstein, one of the Gedolei Hador, who passed away just a year ago. And I remember at the time, just one day later, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, who was a leader and a gadol in a very different kind of way. They led the Jewish people in two very, very different ways, but two very powerful, insightful, and incisive personalities for our generation, who passed away one day after the other, and it makes us feel, it should make us feel, that there's something lacking, that we are bereft, that we are devoid of something. And he says that these individuals were the ones who used to communicate the message of God. They were the Nevi'im. Now obviously he says today we don't have Nevi'im, but we have leaders. However, skip down a line, me'ata. Now, he says, unfortunately, the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have transitioned from being human beings to now, sometimes we find, they are ruchos hasoa v'hasar. They are winds and hurricanes, disasters and calamities. And those are shluchav shel kavayachol. Those now have transitioned to become the messengers of God. If you watch what happened in Surfside and did not realize that God is sending a message. Now what the message is a good question. That's what everybody needs to think about. I'm not sure there's anybody who can tell me directly what it's supposed to mean for me. But if you did not take one moment to think for yourself, what does God want from us? We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That too is one of his messages. And so too everything in our lives. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, unfortunately, instead of having Nevi'im today, we have now a furnace of messengers. We now have an inferno. And these emissaries and these agents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us are tornadoes and hurricanes and all kinds of disasters. If you watch what happened in Meron, and that video that they put out last week on the news was horrific. I'm not sure why it was put out for the public to see. But if you saw what happened there, and at no point did you stop yourself and say, what is this? What is God trying to communicate? Then you are missing something extremely significant about the world events. Next paragraph. Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemes. Im ki nidmeh, if we contemplate, shebizmaneinu misrachashim ma'oros chadashim, we look around and we see, when did we ever have this reality of buildings collapsing? Who ever heard of such a thing? Is there like a echo on the mic? It's bothering me also. Okay. Sheme olam lo haya shum musag aleihem. Better? That they're never, not better. Yes, better. If you can't hear, move up. I won't bite. Sheme olam lahaya shum musag aleihem. That we didn't have in our wildest imagination or our fantasies. So you'll say, we have so many advances, we have so many new things happening in the world, and yet he says at the same time we have a pasuk, something has to go wrong every week. Either it's someone on the Zoom, or it's the mic. We'll get it straight at some point. Ein zeh soser laklal shel ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. He says, we all know the pasuk says, there's nothing new under the sun. Really, nothing new under the sun? How can it be there's nothing new under the sun? We have iPads, and we have Teslas, and we have self-driving cars, and we have all kinds of things that really never existed. So how can you say, ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh? We live in a rapidly advancing world. There is a lot of chadash tachas hashemesh. There are a lot of new things that we are experiencing. So what does this mean? Ha'hevdil ha'yechidi she'bein lifnim v'hayom. He says the major difference between what was many years ago and what is today is she'me'agel ha'ma'oros mistovei b'mahiros yisera, that things are just changing so rapidly. Things are changing so quickly. If you don't keep up with the latest advances, you're behind. You're way behind. You don't know what's happening. And he writes, it used to be that it took time for things to develop. And when a breakthrough happened, it was like after years and years and years of research. That's not the case today. How quickly did they just invent and create and discover this new vaccine? If you look at the research for what is normal for a vaccine to become discovered and to finally be clarified exactly what's the right kind of vaccine that will help for whatever it is that everybody is suffering with, it takes years and years, and yet the process was somehow accelerated. So you'll say it was billions of dollars and it was scientists from all over the world. Yeah, that's all true. But look what happens. And says the Chafetz Chaim that everything happens so quickly and so rapidly. And he writes that the same thing, it used to be, he said, you had an aristocratic family that had an abundance of wealth. And it was guaranteed, it was secured, that for the rest of their lives and their children's lives and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren's lives, they will be okay. They will have money forever. And how many times do we see today, says the Chafetz Chaim, how quickly that changes? Look at the Madoff scandal. Look what happened. People who thought they were secure and safe forever. And the same way in the other direction. How many overnight millionaires do you hear about on the news? Somehow they struck it rich, they started a business, someone invested in them, something happened, they won the lottery, and their whole life fortune, their whole life fate just changes from one second to the next. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, it's never the way it worked. Everything just moves so quickly. There's so much uncertainty, so many things that are unknown. That is number one. Skip down to where he says, Lo aliyah ela yirida. Tzarech ha'adam leida, says the Chafetz Chaim, we need to understand, and this is the second premise that he's working with before he gets into his point. We have to understand that we live in a generation that is regressive, that is degenerative. We assume that those who came before us were much greater. And Chazal tell us that. And we understand, says the Chafetz Chaim, that as the years go on, we become less and less capable. And then he raises a discussion where he says, look at the next paragraph, Yadati, it's on the second column. Yadati gam yadati, I know. How can you say that we are living a degenerative lifestyle if after all, he says, look around the world. How can you say that those who came before were more wise? Don't we see? Don't we have many breakthroughs in science and so many innovations and so many discoveries and so many new inventions that we are all the beneficiaries of? Shelo nizgalu b'dor shelafanenu, they never had all of this. Kegon shebizmanenu, he says, for example, and again, this was like a major news item in his day, they have a kliya machazeh shel chozei ha'kochavim. Do you understand that they have a telescope? Can you believe it, says the Chafetz Chaim, you can take some kind of piece of glass and look into a galaxy and see what's going on in the planets, in the sky? It doesn't make sense, says the Chafetz Chaim. Amazing! What everybody used to say in the abstract, what they thought the galaxies may have looked like and what the planets may or may not have been, says the Chafetz Chaim, now you can actually see it. It's amazing. Astounding. And then he says, Shanasa ba'ofan ha'yosur ne'aleh, that is with such precision, and you can see with clarity what's happening. You can see stratospheres away from where we are. He says, you're not going to believe they have a new invention, which is the telephone. That you're able to hear hundreds of miles away from where you are. He says, in our days we have umnos hatmuna shekodim. What do they call it? Look at what it says. Photographs. We have a camera. You can take a picture. No generation before us had that. Some way you're going to figure out by using the sun, you're now going to be able to create an image of something that you see in front of you.
And
if I do something, I wave my hand and you capture that, you'll see me waving my hand afterward. That's amazing, says the Chafetz Chaim. And he continues on and he says, what about a tape recorder? Tape recorder, can you imagine? I'm able to have a conversation. Somebody's going to record me on a device and we'll be able to listen to it later. Amazing. So writes the Chafetz Chaim, I would venture to say that we are probably much greater and far more advanced than anyone who came before us. So what does it mean when Chazal tell us that we seem to be regressing? That as life and experience of the world goes on, we are living some kind of degenerative reality. How can that be? I was thinking about it since the Chafetz Chaim. I did a quick Google search right before I came here, just because I don't know off the top of my head. What are the major inventions in the last 20 years? You ever think about it? Maybe we're not up to date. So just like, I'll read off some of them. iPhones, iPads, virtual keyboards, hybrid cars, stem cell research, driverless cars, 3D printing, Google Glass, LED lights, SpaceX, Nest thermostats, Tesla. All of this is just like the quickest Google search that I made. I'm Google itself, right? Everything. Look at the world since the Chafetz Chaim wrote this. Look how many advances we have had. Look where we are. What an amazing reality to be living through. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you mean to tell me that we're getting less, not better? How is that possible? How can that be? Look at the next paragraph. Hinei herchavti hakushios. I have laid out the questions for you. Va'ata shema heite ma'asha shivcha be'ezras Hashem. Now, I will explain to you the answer. Ki hinei ha'emes nahafochu. The truth is, says the Chafetz Chaim, you have it all backwards. Ve'em shalacha masha l'maha davar domeh. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, let me explain to you what I mean by sharing a story. Lemelame tinokos, he says, you have a teacher of young children. Shelomed im talmidav ha'alafes. This teacher is teaching the first grade. And the job of the first grade teacher is to teach the children the alafes. Now it's already kindergarten, nursery, right? We've gotten smarter, so we're starting earlier. So the job is to teach the alafes. Ubikiyin bitsuras ha'osius. A child has to know how to recognize and identify what the letters are and what sounds they make. Okay. Rakshamar lehem hanakudos. Now you get to the first grade, and it's assumed that everybody already knows all the letters. And now the job of the teacher is to teach them how to read, to teach them the vowels, the nakudos. So what does he do? Hangs up a big poster on the board, and each line has three letters. So you have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, the first line. Dalet Hei Vav, the second line. Zayin Ches Tes, the third line. And that's the way it goes until the last letters of the Aleph Beis. And the teacher has a student, and they're all sitting there together. Teacher points to the first letter on this poster and says, okay, we all know how to recognize an Aleph and a Beis. We know what we're looking at. Of course, we did that last year. Okay, now we're going to learn how to apply the vowels to the letters that we already know. So I'm going to teach you this, says the teacher. This is a kamatz. When you put a kamatz together with an aleph, what sound does it make? Ah. A kid jumps up and says, wow, okay, I'm going to do the next one. When you put a kamatz together with a beis, I can figure out it's going to make a ba. Amazing. And the kid goes and he's rattling off all the letters and he's making the application and he figured out how to apply the lesson that the teacher just gave over just for the letter aleph. Now that's a very advanced, a very exceptional student. Doesn't always work that way. So he goes down the rows and he sees there's another kid, seems not to be following. He says, okay, we're going to do it. Come up to the front of the class. Brings the kid up to the front. He shows him, okay, a kamas with an aleph is an I'm going to show you that a beis is a ba and a gimel is a ga. And he does five or six letters and the kid says, okay, I did a few of these. Now I can do the rest. When they get to chaf, he follows along and the kid is able to take over on his own. He applied that which he was taught to then understand something further. Unfortunately, says the Chafetz Chaim, there are some children in the class who still won't understand it. And you can teach them half of the aleph beis. They need very deliberate communication. They need to be taught, it's not a problem, but they need to be taught every single letter. They need to be told exactly how to do it. They don't know how to make the application. They don't understand that if I teach you the sound for Aleph, you should be able to then automatically do it for Beis, Gimel, and Dalet. They don't know. So you have to go through the entire poster with them and teach them every single letter. Writes the Chafetz Chaim. That's the nature of education. Some kids will get it and understand it and apply it more easily than others. And that's the way it goes. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Kein hadavar b'inyanenu. Look at the last line. Kol ma she'anu roim she'misrabe yoser dvarim ke'elu. We live in a generation where we have so many advances in technology. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, it used to be that when the Ribono Shel Olam needed to communicate with us, all he had to do was say the first lesson of applying the Kamatz to the Aleph, and we got it. We understood it. We understood the message. We applied it appropriately. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, but now we live in a generation, and as time goes on, it seems to be getting worse and worse, where people just don't understand. They don't know how to interpret. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you don't know how to interpret. I'm going to bring a message to you that is so decisive, that is unequivocal, that is unambiguous. You cannot deny the reality of what I'm showing you. I'm going to make it so clear to you. I'm going to communicate the message that you don't have to make the application. It is so obvious to anybody who's a thinking person. And there can be no misunderstanding anymore. Turn the page to where it says column 3. The Chafetz Chaim says, Nucha lahavin v'lifshod kama niskatnu b'madrega. We can now appreciate and understand how much has changed. We are the weaker student in the class. That is our generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to sit there and spoon feed us the information, relying on no application on our part. We just need to be given everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to communicate with us so openly and so explicitly. Ad shemin ha-shamayim tzarech laharos hasanu osos mofsios al kol davar shoresh al amunaseinu ha-kedosha. The Ribono Shel Olam has to teach us the most basic and fundamental aspects of our faith in other ways, because we're just not getting it. Mashi lefanim adoros elu be'esha haisa amunas Hashem etarasu chazaka etzol kol echad ve'echad mibnei Yisrael. When people used to have a very clear understanding of what it means to be a faith, a person involved in your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo hayatzarech l'chol zeh, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we didn't need all of this. Ki inyan zeh hayo lahoros negen ha-misvakrim v'ha-kofrim b'hashkacha. All of these advances in technology, and this just gives such a new and fresh perspective. Every advancement in technology, writes the Chafetz Chaim, is here kedei lisbarer sheyesh milamala, in order to make it clear for all of us that there is an ayin roeh, an ozen shoma'as, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtav. All of this is here to prove our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's why God gave these gifts to our generation. Because we're not getting it. Because we don't believe how it's possible that there could be somebody watching or somebody listening, and there can be recordings of things that go on in our life. We don't believe that there can be accountability for something that I do in private. We just cannot believe it. Something that used to be so basic and fundamental and axiomatic to what it means to be a Jew is now something that nobody believes in anymore. And says the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I now need to send very explicit messages to show the world that this is the case. V'nivar dvarenu echad le'echad. Next big paragraph, column 3. Hinei al dvar kli ha-machazeh ha-inin hu kach. You want to understand why God gave us a telescope. I'll explain it to you. Everybody with me? Column number 3, second paragraph. You want to know why we have the invention of a telescope? Says the Chafetz Chaim, I'll tell you why. It used to be, when people had a strong sense of emuna and belief, And everybody believed wholeheartedly, Shehashem Yisbarach, Av Shehu Shochein Lamala Ba'aravos. Even though we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in a different atmosphere, in a different cosmos, Mikal Makom Hu Mashgiach Mimechon Shifto. There was a belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches and observes and is attentive to what is happening here in the world. El Kol Yoshvei Ha'aretz. Kidechsiv, as the Pasuk says, Mika Hashem Elokeinu Hamagbi LaShaves. We say it in Hallel. Who is like God, who lives in such a heavenly abode, such a sublime existence, and yet Hamashpili Liros Bashamayim Uvaretz. He lowers himself to come and watch and observe and be attentive to all that's going on here in our world. Lo Hayitzrichim Elamala LaHaros Lanu Inyanam Ka'ela. It was a known, an indisputable fact. The Ribbono Shel Olam did not have to prove it to us. Everybody knew that. Everybody who was a God-fearing Jew understood what the implications of that meant. Aval Achshav Ba'avonoseinu HaRabim. He says, we are the intellectually challenged generation in terms of our emunah. We are the child in the classroom who just doesn't get it. And the teacher has to spend a lot more time and be far more explicit to explain to us in uncertain terms exactly what it is that he's trying to teach. There are so many out there today that deny and reject the authenticity and the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives. The Omerman, they say, Lo yirei ka v'lo yavin elokei Yaakov. What do you mean? God is never going to see me. I can do what I want. So I'll be in my house. I'll turn on my phone in the privacy of my room, in the bathroom. I'll do whatever I want. I'll look at whatever I want. I'll go to a foreign country on a business meeting. And I'll go into an inappropriate place, assuming that no one's going to ever find out. It doesn't matter. What I do is my business. The decisions that I choose to make are my decisions. And when I'm with my business associates and I go to a non-kosher restaurant and I sneak a little of this and a little of that, what's the big deal? Doesn't really matter. And does it really have a hashgacha or does it not? It doesn't really matter. You mean to tell me that it really matters which restaurant I go to here in the neighborhood? It matters. This is really kosher, this is not. Who's ever going to know what's the difference? What's the difference? Kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. You don't believe? Do you believe in God? Well, if you believe in God, what do you think is going to happen as He watches you make these decisions? You're not alone. So, our generation takes that statement in the opposite direction and says, no, I'm not alone. God is always with me. And even when I do terrible things, He loves me. And I'm never alone. And it's great. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always putting His arm around my shoulder. And it's wonderful. And it's all true. It's nice. But think about the flip side of that. Yeah, if God is always with you, that means He's with you when you make that order to the non-kosher restaurant. And He's with you when you're on your vacation and you're doing things that are inappropriate and not following the kashrut standards that you know you should. And all the different things we hear about, God is with you then also. And He's not smiling. And He's watching. And if you deny the possibility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually being able to see what's happening in my life, people are going to ask, says the Chafetz Chaim, Eicha yuchal liros kol kach lemerachok min hashamayim ad haaretz? Is it possible, is it conceivable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see from so far away to what's going on here? You ever look out the window on an airplane? You see cars and trucks driving around the highways and you say, wow, it's like a little toy Lego city going on down there. You say to yourself, I can't really see what color the car is. I can't see what color the truck is. I'm very far away. Sometimes I think about it, I'm like, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really see, you know, when I'm in the middle of davening and I check my phone, doesn't really see what's going on. It's like it's too far away. He could see that I'm in shul. He could see that I'm, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But like, he doesn't really notice the details. It's just like too much of a distance. Gets lost in the details there. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, the Ribbono Shel Olam realized that that fundamental belief is no longer understood, is no longer appreciated. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a step back and said, who is going to be the messenger to teach the Jewish people that that is still the reality of our lives? And he said, you know what? It's not going to be a prophet, and it's not going to be a malach. It's not going to be a storm. It's going to be the telescope. And by allowing us to have this invention, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, advanced our world scientifically by doing so, and advanced our sense of understanding and knowledge. Of course that's true. But beyond that, says the Chafetz Chaim, take a step back and ask yourself, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this in our generation? It's because he needed us to understand one of the most basic premises of Yiddishkeit, and that is, Mara Hashem Yisbarach Bechush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to teach us very explicitly and deliberately, Sha'afilu ben Adam shehu ayin va'efes negdo, that even a human being who cannot even begin to compare himself to God, Yachol lasos eitza al yedei habriya gufa, they can figure out scientifically how to create something, Sheyia yachol liros merchak rab min ha'aretz ad ha'shamayim. God gave the scientists in our generation the ability to look at something in the future, to look at, not in the future, to look at something that is so far away from them. Harei hutva bebriya gufa etzos lazeh. God put into our world, into our reality, that there is such a concept. V'im kein, and says the Chafetz Chaim, if that is true, kol shegein habori yisbarach atzmo, shehu bara abriya gufa, if God created the world, and God is the one who gave scientists the ability to have this device and this mechanism, then obviously he's able to do the same and better. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, this is what it means in the pasuk in Tehillim. Mishamayim hibit Hashem ra'as kol b'nei hadam. We say it every Shabbos. That God looks from the heavens and he sees kol ma'asei ha'adam, every single movement. Everything. With clarity. You doubt the possibility of such a reality? Think about a scientist who can look with a piece of glass, with their device and with their invention, and see every single detail of something that is going on hundreds of thousands of miles away. Amazing. Says the Chafetz Chaim, there were people in the days of Yechezkel HaNavi, who were upset, they were disappointed that Yechezkel was giving them Musar, he was telling them this and that. So they said, Omrim, Ein Hashem Ro'o Sanu, just cut it out already. God doesn't see us, leave us alone. It used to be we had a Beis HaMikdash, and obviously God was closer to us, he lived in the Beis HaMikdash, so, alright, he was around. Now, we're not living in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, leave us alone. Ein Hashem Ro'o Sanu. The Navi Yechezkel says that members of his generation said, God doesn't see us. So let us be. Live and let live. What are you getting involved? Just let us be. Don't you see the rest of the world is doing whatever they want? We could also do whatever we want. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Kodesh Baruch Hu realized that was becoming more and more of a concern as time went on. And that's why he had to give our generation the telescope, to make us understand and appreciate the concept that used to be so simple and straightforward. You go a little further. I find this fascinating. I find this perspective, you know, the next time you pick up your phone, I hope you're going to think differently about what technology is and the fact, did you ever think that when you hold your iPhone, that that is a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach you something? I mean, who thinks this way? Yeah, the Chafetz Chaim thinks that way. But that's why I thought it was valuable to just read it ourselves to see what he says. Atene daber, now let's talk. Odos kli hashmiah hagadola, the telephone. What's with the phone, he says. Gam kein ba'ofen zeh. Mitchila used to be kishahaysa amunah chazaka miyod hayakal echadzar betfila. Everybody was devout. They would daven every day. And they were very careful and meticulous about the davening. Ki kol echad mamin, everybody believes shehashem yizbarach. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so many miles and stratospheres away from me, They believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was listening to them. As it says, we're going to read the story about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Jews cried out, and their cries, they believed that God was listening to them. There are many deniers who say, that is absurd. That is impossible. It is an unreasonable belief that God is listening to you. Are you insane? You're mumbling under your breath, or you think God hears you? You think He cares to listen to you? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized this is a problem. You know what? I'm going to allow the scientists in this generation to make a new invention called a telephone. And you're going to have the ability to hear somebody else's voice hundreds of miles away from where they are. And maybe, just maybe, that will give us the opportunity to appreciate what it means when we offer a tefillah, and we sometimes ask ourselves, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really hear our tefillah? Is it possible that the Ribbono Shel Olam cares to hear our tefillah? Well, sometimes you get a call, and it's a friend that you want to talk to, and you hear them. Sometimes you get a call on your phone, and it is somebody you may not want to talk to. And guess what? You still hear them. Sometimes you get a telemarketer who's calling you, and it's just a nuisance. But guess what? You're able to hear them, writes the Chafetz Chaim. It's only because of the degeneration, the degenerative sense of world history, that things are getting worse and worse, and people are becoming greater and greater deniers of the truth, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to come up with a new shaliach. A Navi's not going to do it anymore. Neither will anything else. Got to come up with a new plan. What's the new plan? New plan is going to be, we're going to have a telephone. And the telephone is going to be the shaliach. And by creating the telephone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to communicate that to all of us, to remind us of such a basic principle that all of Judaism rests on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomea Tefillah. Next paragraph. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create pictures and cameras? Says the Chafetz Chaim, there's a comment in the Zohar HaKadosh, we're not going to read it here, but he clues us in to the fact that the Zohar HaKadosh writes that La'achar Me'e Be'esrim Shana, not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to ask us questions about our lives, but the Zohar HaKadosh says that God is going to present the evidence. God is going to actually have documentation for every question that He asks. So you have somebody who stands on trial, and they're before the trial. If you've ever met with such people who are about to go on trial, unfortunately I have. So they're very confident that, I didn't do a thing, and nothing wrong at all. Until the prosecutor shows up with a video camera, you can't deny it. What are you going to say now? What's your lawyer going to say? It's the lookalike? It's the doppelganger? No, it's you. We see that it's you. Right? You get a ticket, and you're quite sure that you're going to be able to fight off the ticket. Why? Because you're confident that when you get to court, you're going to have a good claim to explain away how it is that they made a mistake and it really wasn't you who was speeding. Really wasn't me. Until the cop takes out the video camera from the dash cam and he shows you that you were driving like a reckless driver for 5 miles and he was following right behind you, what do you say then? There's nothing to say. Yeah, that's my license plate. Yeah, that's me in the video when you pulled me over and I got out of the car. Yeah, that is me. Yeah. Writes the Zohar HaKadosh, that is the way Din V'Cheshbon works. The same way it works in a court, the cop comes prepared, he brings his video camera along, he knows what to bring, he knows the evidence, and then you can't deny, you can't refute the claim anymore. It's indisputable at that point. Writes the Zohar HaKadosh, people had a hard time believing that that was realistic. You mean to tell me Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to show me an image, a snapshot of my life, and hold me accountable to that? There's going to be actual documentation of things that happen? It's impossible. Can't be. How can you have documentation of something that happened so long ago? Nobody's alive anymore that experienced it with me. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, go down to the column number 4, about 10 lines in, one line, one word from the end of the line, Vihine. Okay, Vihine. Column number 4, couple of lines in, last word, Vihine, after the three dots. Vihine, says the Chafetz Chaim, Be'emes haloze inyan haphotograph. Is that not what a picture is? Bedoros harishonim kishaya lomi davar zeh b'zar HaKadosh. When people learned that comment of the Zohar, they shuddered. They knew it was true. Of course, if the Zohar HaKadosh says that, and the Torah teaches us this, of course that's the reality. I know that. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, lo haya davar zeh lepele be'enav l'tmoa. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who sees everything, so of course, he's going to hold me accountable. I understand that. Ech niya kazo shenimshach me'a davar she'asisi ve'ala l'mala. Vanilo eda davar mize. Ki haya inyan ha'amuna b'mashakasa b'svarim. We not only had amuna na HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we actually believed the svarim that we read. We read a passage in the Zohar HaKadosh and we said, yeah, that's true, I guess. Avalata b'avanoseinu harabim shanasa inyan ha'amuna rafa. That we have a watered down version of our belief. If I was not able to see this, b'chush, if I was not able to see this with my own eyes, I would say it was impossible, implausible to imagine such a thing. God knows, again, that we're the weakest student in the class, that we just can't follow, and God has to hold us by the hand and take us down the entire chart and say, okay, you still didn't get it? You still didn't get the message? I'm going to make it abundantly clear to you that you cannot deny it. You can't walk away from it. Can you believe that we're able to have a picture today that is able to have a snapshot not only of myself, but of all my surroundings, of every tree that was there, and every color, and every person that was standing next to me, and every conversation that we had? All of that was invented not just because pictures are enjoyable, and people like to take selfies, and people like to show their children about the vacations they took. We could live without all of it. We'll be okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this gift of a picture because He wants us to believe there is a concept of a picture. There is a concept of something being stored in a memory box for eternity. It will never be erased. What a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. He goes on to a recording device and he says, you know, Chazal tell us, based on a pasuk, that afilu sicha kala shebein ish leishto magidum lo la'adam mishas hadin. Couples sometimes have inappropriate conversations and they say, nobody else is listening. Nobody's watching. What I talk about in my own house is my business. The people I talk about, the conversations I have around my table, what does it affect anyone else? We're just sitting together. We're a couple. We can talk about whatever we want. I trust you. You trust me. We're not going to share it with anybody. How many times have we heard or seen that it was a hot mic, and unfortunately, someone in a very public setting did not realize that their phone was on and called somebody. Somebody came to talk to me this week, actually, about a feeling that they've had that they've never been able to get over. They'll never wipe it out of their memory because a family member mistakenly called their house. And the answering machine went off back in the days when there were answering machines on the house phone. The answering machine went off unbeknownst to the original person. And there they were talking about her husband. Talking negatively about her husband. And trashing him. That night, this woman called up that individual, that family member, and said, "You understand, I'm very uncomfortable with you." "Why would you be uncomfortable? We had such a wonderful time together today." And she took the phone and played the answering machine recording back to the people. They were obviously mortified. But when the Gemara tells us that there is such a concept as things being recorded, and the Gemara says that afilu sicha shebein ish liishto, even the private conversations that a husband and wife have intimately, it's nobody's business, nobody else is listening, we could talk about what we want, I'm not afraid. The Gemara tells us that even that is going to be recorded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said people don't realize that that can be a possibility. And the Ribono Shel Olam said, I need a shliach in the world today that can teach this generation that that is a possibility. That everything you say will be recorded and can be played back at any time. And that is why we have the gift of recording devices. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you'll say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, you got it wrong. It's the wrong voice. It's somebody else. The Ribono Shel Olam plays it back with your sound and with your tone and with your inflection and your articulation and with your modulation and your emphasis on the words and everything exactly the way you speak, to the point where it's undeniable. Where a recording is played and you say, I guess that was me. I happen to hate when people take videos of me. I know, I'm videoed all the time. But I look back at it sometimes, I'm like, wow, was that me? Not that I'm embarrassed, it's just funny. Funny to imagine that that was you 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I remember when we had a speech teacher in YU, he was amazing. And the worst part of the class was that he gave everybody a little chip. He came with a video camera and he videoed you every week. And then you had to watch yourself when you got home and critique the way you spoke. It's not somebody else critiquing me. I can handle that. I had to sit there and watch myself. What an embarrassment. You know, I walk into the room, if my wife is ever listening to my shiur, I'm like, just turn it off. I'm like ashamed. But writes the Chafetz Chaim, why do we have all of this? Because there are other things that we say that we should be ashamed of. And we think they're not recorded and we say, I have nothing to be embarrassed of, it doesn't matter. But all of that is recorded for eternity. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all of these advancements in technology. Harbe shluchim lamakom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many ways of delivering messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many different venues to get his message across. Now, I was thinking about it. The pasuk says, and we say it in our davening, Malocha kala olam kula b'chvodecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reign supreme over the world. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yachol, that he has the ability to do anything. Really, he has the ability to do anything? Well, then why are we shocked when the Twin Towers fall down? Well, why is that shocking to anybody? Why are we shocked when the Pentagon is hit by a foreign country? And our United States intelligence is falling apart? How can that be? How is it possible they have a building that is built on such strong foundations? We live in the United States, we're not living in Bangladesh. How is it possible that a building in Surfside, Florida can fall down? What do you mean? It was up to code. I have no idea if it was or it wasn't. We'll see. But presumably, we go into a building in a resort town and we believe that it was built properly, and they have inspections annually, and we have a right to assume that things are going to be the way they're supposed to be. So why is it shocking to us when we see things like this happen? Because we don't actually believe that God is a kol yachol. We don't believe that it's possible that God can actually do anything. So we say, kochi v'otzem yadi, what do you mean? I'm okay. We're okay, we're safe, we have legal parameters of how we build buildings, of where we live, of how we live, of what we do. where it's safe, where it's not safe, and we go to these places and we stay away from the others, and we assume that as long as we do this or we do that, everything's going to be okay. I know somebody now who's sick from the booster shot. And they said, how could it be? How did I get sick? It doesn't make sense. The research shows. Yeah, the research shows, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided you should be sick. I don't know what to tell you. So you can follow scientists all you want, and we're supposed to. The bottom line is, you don't believe that God is a kol yachol. You don't believe that God can actually do anything in the world. And you can follow all the protocol, you can do whatever you want, but the wildest things can happen. Why? Because God said nobody believes anymore in the most basic principle that God is a kol yachol. That anything can happen. And now we live in a world where we know that anything can happen. You could have somebody who goes to shul one day, innocently, and Rahmana Litzlan, there's a shooting. You have little kids that go to a school, and they don't come home at night. Why? What do they do wrong? Whoever imagined we would be dealing with such things? We're not living in the middle of a third world country where things like this happen, with our shootings and nobody even pays attention, where nobody cares. I go to a restaurant, I can't go and assume that I'm going to be safe. I go to a synagogue, to a house of worship, to a shul. I have to have armed guards outside. Is that the reality of our lives? We all know that there is no given anymore. We are all being taught this lesson over and over, says the Chafetz Chaim. Things are happening so quickly, you know. You watch the news, by the time it's the afternoon, they don't even show the morning news anymore because so much happened since then. So much happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us, look how much can happen. Look how many governments can be toppled from one morning to the afternoon. How many people are talking anymore about what happened in Sudan yesterday? There was a coup, and the whole government collapsed, and everything is upside down, and there's millions of people whose lives are in danger and total chaos. No one's even talking about it anymore. Why? Because you know how many governments collapsed since then? Who ever heard of governments collapsing? This doesn't happen in the real world. The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going back to the basics. And the basic lessons needed to be taught once again from the start. The most obvious things that all of us should have known as Jews, but just have a hard time appreciating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I need a shliach. So sometimes that shliach is going to be, unfortunately, the Twin Towers. And then people maybe will understand, but maybe they won't. And it seems that they don't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, the next shliach is going to be this or that. And crazy things happen. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, let's go back to the basics and just make sure that we firm our belief in the basic principles of faith. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yachol. You know, the Gemara tells us the Ribbono Shel Olam is roeh ve'eino nireh. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees us, He watches us, He's intimately involved with us, but we can't see Him. People are going to say, is it possible you can have something that's such an all-powerful being that you can't see? Look at COVID. How many of you have seen COVID? We can't see it. Unless you're a scientist in a lab, you can't see it. You don't know what it is, and yet it destroyed the whole world. Debilitating. You don't believe in the basic premise and the basic idea that there's such an opportunity in life to confront something that is roeh ve'eino nireh, something that is going to find you, but you won't find it. And you're running around, and my kids, I'm not sure, you know, nobody has any symptoms, but maybe they're asymptomatic, and maybe they are holding this thing. How am I supposed to know? What am I supposed to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs harbe shluchim lamakom. Nobody believes it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a roeh ve'eino nireh. Yes, He is the most powerful force in all of our lives, but we can't see Him. Does that mean it doesn't impact us? Does that mean it doesn't affect my life? Look at COVID and restore your belief that there is such a concept of somebody who's roeh ve'eino nireh. When the Mishnah tells us, Hakina ha'taiva v'hakavod motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam, you say, really? Come on. Somebody can have such a desire that is going to destroy their world? Look how many politicians and elected officials have gotten involved in the stupidest, silliest things. All for what? For 1 minute of pleasure? You destroy your entire life. You're the President of the United States. You do something in the Oval Office. Are you insane? Are you crazy? You think no one's going to find out? We have FBI and Secret Service all over the place. You think no one's going to find out what you're doing in the Oval Office? You think you're going to get away with it? You deny what the Mishnah says, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzien es ha'adam in ha'olam. Look what it does. Look what happens. And God says, you know what? The shliach this time is going to be the President of the United States. And I'm going to show you how the most powerful person in the world can be taken down because of a taiva. All for what? For a young woman who he just couldn't hold himself back from? Are you crazy? The Ribbono Shel Olam has shluchim all over. Look at how destructive it is. People who are just looking for more likes on Twitter and more followers on YouTube and more followers on Facebook and TikToks and all these things that some of you don't even know about. I'm part of this blessed generation. But look at that. And look how many suicides have happened because of it. And look how many people whose lives have been destroyed as a result of their insatiable desire to feel that they need to be needed by others, that they need to be liked. Hakina, hataiva, I'm jealous that somebody else has this many followers and that many likes, and I'm not there. And what lengths am I willing to go to make that happen? You know, Chazal tell us when you say a piece of Lashon Hara, it could go, me sofa ola me at sofa. That was what they said 1,000 years ago. You ask yourself, really? I say a piece of Lashon Hara can go from one end of the world to the other? Look what somebody does in one tweet. You say something about another person, and it goes instantly to the entire world, and there's no way to pull it back. And you could take the movie down from the internet, and you could try to do this and do that. It's futile. There's no reason to do it, because once it's out, it's misof ha'olam v'yad sofo. Quite literally. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't believe that concept? I'm going to show you that the concept exists. How am I going to show you the concept exists? I'm going to give you a Twitter feed, and I'm going to show you how when you write something stupid and you feel really bad about it later on, it's just too late, because the damage is already done and there's no pulling it back. All of this, says the Chafetz Chaim, is meant to be the shluchim lamakom. It's all meant to give messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly to us, to make us appreciate, to make us understand what it means to live a holier life, what it means to live a life where we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. What does it mean that there's an ayin roeh, ve'ozen shomas, ve'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim? God said people are just not getting the message, and the way to show it to them is by advancing their technological abilities, by giving them the ability to see it b'chush, with their own eyes. All we need to do is take a step back and think about the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and what the implications are of everything that we experience and all that we have in our world. And Mirza Shem,